Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode on my channel, Life, Health, Happiness and Beyond. I'm very glad to share that my small endeavor has reached more than 110 listeners. Now in the world of podcasting, that is a small number, but every journey starts with a single, even a small step. So thank you for all those out there listening in, downloading, subscribing, with the hope from my side that this channel and its episodes have had some positive impact in your daily lives. Today's topic would be to bust some medical myths as shown in the title. I will start though with a disclaimer. I am a physician. I stay up to date with the current medical and surgical procedures. The intent of this episode is not to hurt any sentiments or beliefs or customs, but purely evidence-based clarification of certain misinformation that we may have carried or have been indoctrinated with. So let's start. Some of these may not remain as myths to you, but as a caregiver, this might be a myth in a family or a friend or someone you care or something that is impacting them. The first one, the myth. Bananas help relieve diarrhea. Now, I've heard this myself as a kid as well. In the US and other countries also, bananas are part of what are referred to as brat foods. B for bananas, R for rice, A for applesauce, and D for toast. While bananas may help replenish the potassium loss which might happen in severe diarrhea, if you are having severe diarrhea, you do not need to eat a lot of bananas. Rice and toast in bland form may be palatable if you're having nausea and does not directly have any impact in treating diarrhea. Apple or even applesauce can in fact be counterproductive. Apple naturally contains sorbitol. Although less in amount than apple, sorbitol can increase diarrhea. So don't eat too many apples, please. Herbal medications will not help. Medications like resveratrol are only needed if the frequency and quantity of loss as part of diarrhea is very high. Now, when to take such medications, I would say refer to your physician first. What is needed is adequate hydration, especially with oral rehydration solutions or ORS. Eating bland food is ideal. IV hydration is only warranted if the afflicted is very severely dehydrated. A clinical workup in general is only considered when patients present with diarrhea for more than a day's or a day or two's duration that is associated with bloody stools, fever, symptoms of sepsis, or evidence of dehydration. Recent antibiotic use is another cause which might require workup, or if the patient is in an immunocompromised state. Please do not start antibiotics on your own for diarrhea without a workup or a doctor's prescription. So that's the first myth that we've busted about bananas and, well, I can say even brat foods. The second one. Every cough, cold and fever needs an antibiotic. No. Not every cough, cold and fever needs an antibiotic. So basically, let's just break it down. Antibiotics work on bacteria. So the cause is viral. They simply have no role except that you might develop resistance to this particular antibiotic that you're taking, which you may need for something much more severe in the future. This is in fact contributing to the significant hospital-acquired infections which are multi-drug resistant, meaning resistant to multiple antibiotics. Physicians use what is called as a modified center score to determine if a patient needs antibiotics. If symptoms persist or worsen, workup is done, an empirical antibiotic is started, even if this antibiotic started, even if this whole thing started off as a viral fever because of a phenomenon called superadded bacterial infections, which you can look up. And these antibiotics may be continued or discontinued based on the test results and the patient's condition in general. Essentially, if one is not immunocompromised, one is healthy, and has just had an upper respiratory tract infection, meaning not extending to the lungs, which would be pneumonia, there is no role of antibiotics. If you see a prescription from your local physician saying viral fever or viral URTI standing for upper respiratory tract infection, and there's an antibiotic, that's a contradiction. If it's viral, there's no need of an antibiotic immediately. The third myth, turmeric works as an antiseptic. To keep it simple, turmeric is a good spice. Now, the reason I say, many studies that have gone through, there are conflicting studies. Some say that the activated compound called curcumin in turmeric does have some antiseptic properties. But the point of me bringing this up here is, do not apply these to any kind of wound. Do not presume that it can alleviate cancer or has significant medicinal properties. Firstly, just about 1% of turmeric consumed is absorbed into the blood, what we call as bioavailability. The remaining is simply excreted in stools. As far as wound care is concerned, if you have a cut while cooking or an abrasion after a fall, do not apply turmeric on it, assuming that it has significant antiseptic properties. And this is something that I've learned from one of my professors mentors. Do not apply anything to any wound that you're not comfortable putting into your own eye. Simply clean the wound with clean water, compress if there is bleeding, use a band-aid or a saline-soaked gauze, and meet your doctor. Do not apply turmeric to wounds. The fourth myth, drinking cold water can clog arteries supplying blood to your heart, or basically drinking cold water can cause blocks in your coronary blood vessels or coronary arteries. No, that is not how human physiology or anatomy works. Just because of the proximity of the esophagus to the heart does not mean that cold water passing down the esophagus into the stomach canal, passing, which happens in seconds, cannot and will not have an impact on your coronary arteries. The same applies to cold water being the cause for cold, cough, or sore throat. People might have discomfort while swallowing cold water, but no, it does not cause sore throat. And if you are developing symptoms of like cold, cough, or sore throat, that is more to do with the quality of water than the temperature of the water itself. Myth number five, black coffee can cause acidity. The multiple studies and meta-analytic studies have shown a lack of correlation between black coffee and GRD, or what we commonly call as acidity. Newer studies have shown the benefits of black coffee in liver protection, not though, if you make your coffee Irish, if you know what I mean. Alcohol is not good for your liver in any amount. Myth number five, jaggery is a better substitute for sugar. While it is true that jaggery which is made from sugarcane, unprocessed version of sugar, is a great source of minerals like calcium, potassium, magnesium, etc., it is not a suitable alternative to refined sugar. I mean, do not presume that your blood sugar levels would be better controlled, especially if you're diabetic or pre-diabetic or are at risk of diabetes because of family history. Do not presume that substituting refined sugar with jaggery will prevent diabetes or reduce your blood sugar or keep your blood sugar levels under control. The idea that jaggery is significantly better than sugar is a myth as far as sweetening your tea or coffee or juices are concerned. I'm not denying the fact that jaggery has macronutrients that are important, but if you're using it as a sugar substitute, no. Myth number seven, running and or jogging can cause arthritis. Now, there are many new studies, actually, in fact, new and old, that not really debunk this myth that running or jogging causes arthritis, but actually show the opposite. But basically, simply put, there is no identified association between cumulative running history and risk of arthritis. Studies have shown, this include studies on marathon runners as well, that this does not happen. Running or jogging, in fact, is good with good sole support, of course, for your feet, can increase your cardiovascular endurance, increase bone and joint strength, improves your resting heart rate, improves sleep quality, and so much more. A caveat here, though, please let me add this. Strength training along with jogging is important to strengthen the muscles above and below the joint. When we're talking about running, we mean the hip and knee joints. Myth number eight, egg yolks are bad and increase fat levels. One whole egg a day, including the yolk, whether boiled or an omelet with decent amount of oil while making the omelet, of course, is not harmful, but in fact, actually healthy. Egg yolks have received a bad reputation for a very long time, but the fact is that they're a great source of polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats, which can help what we commonly call bad cholesterol in lowering it. The widest good source of protein is all of us know. Egg yolks are one of the few natural sources of vitamin D. In fact, eggs contain several micronutrients, that is, vitamins and minerals that help in maintaining muscle mass, promote eye health, boost cognitive development, and prevent memory loss. Please be warned, though, that for your overall diet, if eggs are a part of it and you are you eat eggs, the quantity should and will depend on your physical activity. So please consult your nutritionist with regards to the number of eggs that you can eat per day. Myth number nine, no carb diets for weight loss. No. Again, simply no. This is not how human physiology works. At a macronutrient level, you need carbohydrates, proteins, and yes, even fats. But yes, in proportions. If you're on a weight loss journey, maybe a lower carb and a higher protein diet, lower fat kind of a diet, modifying the percentages, yes. But no carb diet is a big no. I repeat, no. No, no carb diets, please. Final and myth number 10, vaccines can make you sick. Now, I know there's a lot of debate in India and across the globe, in US, etc. This topic itself is kind of controversial, and in fact, I could probably make a separate episode about vaccines, but you're surrounded by news, you're surrounded by articles with WhatsApp forward, Twitter messages, tweets, and so much more. I'd simply say this: tested and approved vaccines are not only safe but important for short and long-term health. It is a part of preventative care. Along with adults, and probably more important than adults, it is important to have your kids vaccinated per your country's vaccination schedule under the purview of a general physician or a pediatrician. please remember that it was vaccines that helped eradicate smallpox and polio. And most recently, vaccines was what saved us from COVID. There are many more myths that I considered covering here, but I thought 10 is a decent number, a good round-off number. So I will stop here right now. I might do another episode on myths again, but if you have any questions regarding my sources of studies based on which I've sort of bus these 10 myths, please bring it up. You can engage with me on Twitter. You can reply or leave a comment on any of the podcasting services that you're using. And I'll be happy to share my sources and studies that have helped me bring this episode together. Thank you once again for listening. See you next time. And until then, as usual, may the force be with you. Thank you.